Can I add my very warm welcome to Sam's? As he said, my name's Kev, I'm the minister of the church here, and it's just a total joy for our whole church family to welcome you as our guests as we begin our Christmas celebrations. We're going to watch something. It's a video of my favourite Christmas advertisement of all time. I know, so the commercialisation at the end slightly spoils the beautiful moment. Other retailers are available at Christmas, we should say. It's a tearjerker, isn't it? I've seen it a million times. It makes me cry every time I watch that. It's entitled... ...and a three-year-old girl, so similar to on the video. I actually showed that to them this morning to see if they would take the hint. They claim not to have understood the twist at the end. There's not a lot of desire for giving presents to mum and dad at the moment, unfortunately. But they've been going on about it all since, I think, early July was when it started. I insisted that we wait till we got back from our summer holiday before there was any festive chat. And five-year-old Rory took me at my word. So we got home on the morning of the 28th of August. He was straight into the Santa costume. And by lunchtime, we were watching The Snowman on DVD. It's been a long advent in our house, the long wait. But how about 2,000 years of the long wait? That's what that final reading described. I wonder if you can still see it in front of you, that list of names that Anya is a hero to have got through them successfully. Generation after generation anticipating the Christmas baby. Sentence one is the executive summary. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew's gospel that I'm holding here, and you've got one in front of you, feel free to take it away. One of the four authorized biographies of the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. And that was a peculiar reading, wasn't it? You might have thought. I mean, it's not very Christmassy. And a peculiar opening page for what is an international bestseller. Some books famously grab you by the throat immediately, don't they? So it was the best of times, the worst of times, Tale of Two Cities. It was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13. Orwell's 1984. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ that goes on and on and on. Hardly a page turner of an introduction. It's a family tree, is what this is. Family trees root us in our heritage. This Christmas, give the gift of family, is the offer from Ancestry.com for a small fee. And it's kind of interesting, I think, to discover that someone on your maternal grandmother's side was the secret love child of Henry VIII's court jester, or whatever it is. But this roots Jesus in his lineage for much more significant purposes. At the very least, this tells us the baby of Bethlehem was a figure of world history. Pop across the road to the British Museum, you'll examine the artifact documents of Hezekiah. See the evidence of the deportation, the world of Babylon. This list also communicates that he wasn't some novel cult leader who sprung up at random. No, hotly anticipated the long wait. Here is the most elongated drum roll in history. And it just begins this list to give us a sense, I think, of why Jesus Christ defines human history. Did you notice the way it's set out on your sheet? It separates time into epochs. Abraham to David, David to exile in Babylon, Babylon to Christ. He is not only the beginning of a fresh era, the long wait, remember. The arrival of the Christ is the fulfillment of everything that went before. Listen to C.S. Lewis. The birth of Christ is the central event in the history of the earth, the very thing the whole story has been about. Abraham lived 2,000 years BC. We are 2,000 years AD in the other direction. Ever worry about your place in the grand scheme of things? Ever wonder whether there really is a grand scheme of things? Well, this family story offers to root you and me in a bigger story. And more than simply giving us a heritage, this offers real hope to every member of every human family, no matter how dysfunctional you and yours are. So will you come with me? Let's just explore for a few moments humanity's ancestry.com. Again, sentence one, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham and David are, you might say, the two, well, the silverback gorillas of the Old Testament, the big beasts who, along with the Christ, frame this reading. Abraham, all his Christmases came at once when God showed up one day out of the blue, undeserved by Abraham, and said, I've decided to make you great. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a blessing. And in your offspring, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Wouldn't that be good? All the nations of the earth happy and safe, not just the privileged few. I say all of Abram's Christmases came at once. There wasn't much to show tangibly at the time. It was mainly promises he received. A bit like those gift cards you get at Christmas. Yeah, it's great, but it's just a piece of plastic in your wallet. What it's good for, that's exciting. And these promises to Abraham set off the long wait, the frustrated anticipation of the little boy in the film. When's it going to happen, this global blessedness? Well, not in Genesis as we're flicking through the scripture, not in Exodus as we carry on opening the Advent windows and it's still not time. And you get that sense just from the first paragraph, don't you? Lots of fathers and fathering and interesting baby names. I wonder which ones grabbed your attention. Salmon's my favourite. Love a bit of salmon. Gets me excited about the Christmas canapes. But David is where we're heading. Sentence six, notice Jesse, the father of David, the king. The king is at the centre of this genealogy because in a king, the promises to Abraham are sharpened. Like a maglite torch, you might get one of those in your stocking. You know the ones that you can adjust the beam so full beam. The promises of blessing are global. But more precisely spotlighted, David is a picture of the blessing coming through the particular leadership of a king. Is that surprising? Happy Christmas. Have a king. If you pull away the wrapping paper and Prince Charles is inside your present, da-da! I mean, partly that would just be very weird, wouldn't it? But also, really a blessing? Leaders often feel like they're more of a burden in our lives, or at best a source of mockery. I wonder if you're pinning your big hopes on anyone who might happen to get elected this Thursday. And yet, even the hardened cynics among us, even those who feel our trust has most been eroded, we crave direction from somewhere, don't we? Will someone please get us out of our mess? And I don't know if you noticed, but our Old Testament readings began to describe the promised one who would come in the line of David. On the throne of David, did you hear that mentioned? The first reading said, he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and they shall dwell securely, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Wouldn't that be good? No more hung parliaments or Russian interference. Now NATO leaders sniggering behind the back of the Prince of Peace and Justice who will rule forever. And yet the long wait continues as we track on in what is now a royal dynasty. I'm afraid the kings get worse as you go through the list, generally. Hope fades, dysfunction abounds. Partly that's families for you. Do you know, apparently they say the average family will have 5 arguments on Christmas Day. And the first will take, how do they work this out? The first will take place at 11:13 a.m. precisely. So there you go. Set your watches, everybody. And may the force be with you in the great battle of 2019. Our families are dysfunctional because we are dysfunctional, let's be honest. That's certainly the story here. Now, there are high moments on this list, some heroes to celebrate. But the Babylon era of verse 12 onwards is a picture of exile, deliberately removed from the Holy Land as an act of God's just judgment. None of them worthy of his blessing or fit to lead. And we are like them. And that's why the long wait sharpens again. See, we're waiting, actually, for a different kind of human being to emerge in this list, who can bring sinful humanity back to the God who we've all sidelined. Wouldn't that be good to know him if he's out there, to be forgiven by him, to be rooted in the purposes that he has made you in his image for? Which is why verse 16 comes as such a breath of fresh air. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Christ is not the family surname. It means Messiah. And some of the carols that we've been singing, I think, just brilliantly capture the sense of history that's unfolding in the Bethlehem stable. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. The hopes and fears of all the years we sang are met in thee tonight. We're going to be going through this first bit of Matthew's Gospel throughout the Christmas season. And I must tell you, it was very tempting for me to skip these verses and begin at sentence 18. You know, get me to the wise men, bring on the angels. Well, we will get to those. But by the time we do, we should have a heightened sense from this of why the Christmas birth is such a relief. The long wait finally over. A baby of blessing for the nations, leadership, peace, the shadow of God's judgment removed from your destiny. And I think the thing that makes it hard slightly is focusing on the baby. I mean, babies are cute, but you do not tend to judge great global leaders by what they look like in a nappy. You know, I haven't seen any election posters of Boris or Jeremy in their diapers as a sales pitch. Yeah, a small baby. But a huge Christ. A huge Christ whose ambitions for you are actually eternal and way, way beyond our very limited hopes and dreams. Will you give him a serious hearing this Christmas? One way I'd urge you to do that is to read on in Matthew's Gospel. See if he lives up to the hype. Christmases that are hotly anticipated often fail to deliver. But watch the Son of Abraham give mighty tasters of what it would look like to live in a world of disease, even death reversed, to be selflessly led, to be reintroduced to your Maker. This reading carries the fingerprints, actually, of the God you will meet as you read on. Look out for him working in unusual people, in unusual ways. There are miraculous births even in this genealogy, but also plenty of power shown in weakness through the generations. which continues to be God's way. Isn't this the carpenter's son? They'll say a few pages on. And more personally, this family tree is a mirror into ourselves, because here is a catalogue of doubt, of parents having favourites, adultery, prostitution, incest, adultery, and idolatry, among other things. Do you know, Netflix could get at least 10 seasons out of this royal drama. Skeletons in the closet everywhere. And so if you're tempted to take pride and comfort in your religious pedigree this evening, I want to say, this is the family of Abraham being listed here. It doesn't come more prestigious than that in world religion. And yet there's a lot not to be proud of. Where I come from, up in Scotland, there's a phrase people sometimes use. They say in Scottish, "I knew your father." Which, in English, "I knew your father" is basically the translation. "I knew your father" is the more aggressive way that they put it. And what it means is, it's what you say to somebody who might have just become a bit intoxicated by their education or career, perhaps, and they forget that they come from humble beginnings. "I knew your father" means we know where you're really from. We know who you really are. And so if you think you're somebody religiously, well, the stories behind these names, like Tamar and Uriah, remind us who we all really are in the human family. There is a sin problem in the genes that no subsequent generation has been able to grow out of. And I hope you can be personally honest about that this Christmas. But please don't despair, because Christmas is an invitation to any of us from all the nations on the earth to come and join a new family, to feast at Abraham's table, is how Jesus will put it later on. We're still waiting for him to come and take us to that place. Apparently the Queen, our Queen, hands out the presents personally to the members of the royal household just before the big day. That's a nice touch, isn't it? But her Christmas table is a place of privileged access. God doesn't only invite you to his as an honoured guest. He actually wants to write your name in to his royal family tree. Are you disappointed at the end of a year when we tend to reflect on how things have gone? Are you guilty? Have you messed up? Do you feel an outsider? Are you full of doubts? This dull old genealogy, so-called, says welcome to the family. Come and be blessed. Come and be led. Come and be forgiven. If only you will pin your hopes on the great hero of the family who we've all been waiting for. Will you give him that serious hearing? Take steps towards him this Christmas? It would be the way to make it a really happy one if you do. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ.